Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, hey, and welcome back to another episode of Good Game, Nice Try. We made it.
Well, it's Friday. How are we feeling? How is your week? What have you been up to this week? What's going on out there in the big bad OMG? It's Firefox with 2X's world.
I held a breath the entire time you were saying that so I could give like the most just expressive sigh.
You're like Tom Cruise. You can hold your breath for 6 minutes because I talk a lot.
Is that a fact?
It is.
That's a known Tom Cruise fact?
Yeah, I know too much about Tom Cruise. He's kind of like Nathan Drake. He's kind of like Uncharted. He is trying to be a video game protagonist. The dude is just dying to be made out of pixels. You know, like he's just like, yeah, for Mission Impossible, I don't know, the one where he's underwater, you know, it's like, and that he held his breath for 6 minutes.
That's a game in and of itself.
I'm kind of shocked they haven't done a Mission Impossible video game. I'm going to be quite
honest.
Or just
a Tom Cruise simulator.
Yeah, right. Yes. Oh, my God. Okay, so here are the things you do, right? Yeah. You hold your breath for 6 minutes, and it's like it uses the mic and the controller so it can really tell if you're breathing or not, like Alien Isolation.
It knows. It knows if you're actually holding your breath.
Yeah, it can hear that because in Alien Isolation, you could turn that on, right? So the alien can hear you in real life, and it's like the
worst thing.
Oh,
I didn't know that. Wait, is that on like PS5?
Well, I think it. I played it on PS4. I haven't played it on PS5 yet.
I didn't know the controllers could do that on PS4.
It is literally horrifying. But yeah, so anyway, what's another level that would be for the Tom Cruise simulator?
Well, you have to be able to balance on like 8-inch platforms.
Oh, now wait, is this a short joke? Because he's short?
It might be.
Okay. All right.
It might be.
That's low. I think you have to hold on to the side of a plane, right? He did that in Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you run, you have to throw your arms real high up above your head because he runs like.
That's great. And you get style points. It's almost like a DDR simulator thing. You get style points for creativity, creative expression. I like that. We're really onto something.
I'm thinking this is VR, right? Let's just say it.
It's got to be.
It's got to be VR.
VR Tom Cruise simulator.
And then, of course, oh my God, of course, this is the thing. You want to talk about DDR?
Mm-hmm.
Got to dance in your tighty whities. Risky business.
You know what? I think we've come up with some really good ideas so far. But ultimately, if we just scrap this whole thing and just make it a solely DDR VR Tom Cruise game.
That's right.
That's it.
It's DDR VR TC, I think is what it should be called. You know, TC VR DDR is what we're looking at.
You need
and then it's also you solve crimes, so it's SVU. I think it's TC VR DDR SVU, and that's really it.
BRB gonna play SVU. No.
BRB gotta play TC VR DDR SVU.
Nailed it. I'm never gonna be able to.
I think on my deathbed, the last things I'm gonna say is just like TC VR DDR. BRB.
That's your rosebud.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, and Jen said there's a Mission Impossible game for Nintendo 64 from 1998. We should play that game.
Oh, no.
Jen, are there any photos or anything of it that you're looking at?
I mean, yeah, but...
ringing
not
endorsement.
Not very confident.
The catchphrase is, expect the impossible.
Okay.
So if that doesn't sell it, I don't know what will.
The thing is, like, if you're expecting the impossible, it's way less cool.
Yeah, because you've set your bar. You're expecting it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. But I think I'm very much looking forward to TCVR DDR SVU. I think it's going to be, I think it's a winner that
expect
he doesn't do it.
Expect the impossible.
Yes!
That's it.
Very excited today because I am, as you know, Sonia, a huge comic book fan.
Mm-hmm.
And our guest today, this dude created one of the craziest, biggest, most well-known comic books of all time, The Walking Dead, which of course became an incredible AMC series called The Walking Dead. And his new show, also based on another comic book of his new show called Invincible, premieres today on Amazon Prime. It is fantastic. It stars our good friend Steven Yeun, who's unreal and so talented. And look, it was a pleasure talking to this guy today. Please enjoy our interview with the one and only Robert Kirkman. Robert Kirkman, thank you so much for joining us today. Oh my goodness, this is a huge, huge pleasure. Now, Invincible is on Amazon today.
Yes.
And I'm a huge fan of the comic book. So for people out there who maybe have not heard of Invincible, how would you describe the show?
Invincible is the story of Mark Grayson, who is your average everyday American teenage boy. And his father just happens to be the greatest superhero who's ever lived, who's named Omni-Man. And he kind of grows up in his father's shadow and is told that at some point he may inherit his father's powers. And so he kind of has deified his father and looked up to this world of superheroes that he inhabits and has always wanted to be a part of it his entire life. And as the series picks up, he's getting his powers and he's getting what he's always wished for, and it's not going to go the way he thought it was going to go. So he finds out that superheroes are a little darker and a little scarier and a little more dangerous than he thought, and he may or may not be prepared for such things.
What I love about Invincible is it feels very— look, I love Spider-Man. Obviously, Spider-Man is amazing. I know you do as well.
He's amazing, spectacular. He's the best.
Yes. But Invincible, it always rang more true to me because it has that big, great, beautiful thing we love about superheroes. But I feel like with Spider-Man, I always kind of felt like that's not exactly how I would act. And like, I feel like people with villains with giant powers wouldn't exactly pull their punches in that way. And Invincible, I love it because it just feels like I could connect more with Mark Grayson and that world than I kind of could with a lot of these Marvel superheroes.
I like to say that Invincible, we're cheating when we make our superhero stories because we have the hindsight of 80 years— yes— of superhero storytelling, and we're able to use that and manipulate it to our whims. And so, I'm a huge fan of Spider-Man, and we have, I think it was 60s. So what is it? 100 years of Spider-Man stories. I'm not great at math.
A few years.
Yeah. Something like that. but we're able to take all of this history and all of these expectations that you get from superhero stories and kind of, bend away from them and lull the audience into a false sense of security, thinking they're going to expect superhero A and supervillain B to fight and for the outcome to be kind of like the 4,000 other superhero fights they've seen in comic books and movies and TV shows. And we do things differently, which I think, makes our characters, slightly more human and slightly more imperfect in the way that the Marvel heroes debuted in the 60s and gave comics a different light compared to DC characters that were created in the 30s. Invincible— yeah— is kind of another natural progression of that, where we're like, well, actually, superheroes might work this way. And, they're just normal people that could be doing this. And, it's a lot of fun.
It feels like, between 144 issues, it feels like you have this giant sandbox of just incredible moments and incredible fights and story arcs and everything that you can kind of play within.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, Invincible started because Corey Walker, the co-creator, and I were invited to participate in Image Comics's new superhero universe. They had an initiative to bring new superheroes into comics because they noticed they hadn't published superheroes in a while. And so we sat down and we were like, So we're going to do a superhero comic. Like, let's figure out a way to have every single thing that we love about superheroes fit into one book. And so we want to have the cosmic battles, and we want to have the Earth battles, and we want to have, you know, all kinds of different aspects of thousands of different superhero comics that we've enjoyed over the years, you know, represented in some way. So in a lot of ways, Invincible is everything that you could have ever wanted from a superhero story, like boiled into one thing. So I'm really excited about that.
What are some things that you feel like when you were putting together the show from the comic that you are most excited about that you kind of couldn't really do so much in the comic books?
I mean, the biggest obvious one is like hearing the voices and seeing the things right. move in mm-hmm. motion. I mean, that changes so much.
You know, let's talk about the voice cast a little bit. You know, Steven Yeun, sure. who's amazing. J.K. Simmons, of course, as Omni-Man. And by the way, I saw him working on it. This is such an L.A. story. But I saw him working out in a gym once, and he's ripped. He's like a superhero in real life.
I don't want to blow up his spot or anything, but he would bike to the recording sessions. So he would show up in sweats, you know, on his bicycle and just be like, just absolutely, you know, you're just like, damn, like this guy could totally like swing that bike around and knock my head off with it or something. Like, this is
seriously crazy.
Good for him.
Yeah. He can be a very intimidating person in performances. I will say in real life, he is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. But when you don't know him and he shows up in a sleeveless shirt, having biked across LA, and he's like, which room? This one over here? You're like, hey, look, wherever you want to go, man. Whatever you want to do. It's all good.
And of course, I mean, Mark Hamill. I mean, how was it to work with Mark Hamill? He's and just, I mean, not even Star Wars, but also Joker, just all the voice work he's done has been incredible as well.
Let's just say certain people who had not been to recording sessions showed up to certain recording sessions with things that they would have liked autographed. And they got autographed, but I was kind of in the back going, oh my God, I can't believe we're doing this. This is crazy. But no, the Mark Hamill recording sessions were legendary and rightly so. And he plays Art Rosenbaum, who is a superhero tailor who makes all of the costumes. And he's a really cool character. And I got to like actually sit down and, you know, Mark was like, I could do the voice like this. I could do the voice like this. I could do the voice like this. And I was like, I cannot believe this is happening right now. This is so nuts. And you're looking at Luke Skywalker the whole time, which is, it's like, you're talking to the guy who does the Joker and a thousand other amazing voices, but you're looking at Luke Skywalker and your brain is going, it's Luke Skywalker right now. It's totally Luke. And you just want to look at him and go, surreal. Luke, I love you so much. Oh my God. But instead you're like, you know, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was thinking for the character. That's a really good choice there, Mark.
Internally busting at the seams.
Yeah, no, I could have died in that moment and would have been like, yeah, it's all worth it.
Let's talk a little bit about Skybound, because I think it's so fantastic just as a creator to be able to get to the level where you can, like Sonia was saying, get on all these different platforms. You know, having shows, having comics, having all these other things, and now having games. Talk a little bit, if you could talk a little bit about why you decided to start Skybound and what it kind of means to you to be able to kind of play around in the gaming space.
Yeah, well, I mean, Skybound was kind of, it was started by, you know, my business partner, David Alpert and I. And, you know, when Walking Dead happened, we had the tremendous opportunity to control a large portion of Walking Dead licensing. And I did not have the bandwidth to do any of that because I was writing Walking Dead comics and working on the Walking Dead show. And so I was like, you know, this is an opportunity I don't want to go to waste. But, you know, we should really, you know, do something with this. And so we formed our little Skybound company. And it was basically begun to kind of shepherd, you know, any kind of Walking Dead stuff into the world. And so we would make, you know, we started out small and we would make T-shirts and lunchboxes and posters and things like that. And, you know, more and more we would make things and we would figure out how you do different license and merchandising stuff. And then we would start bringing it in-house. And that process made the company kind of grow and grow. Eventually, we partnered with Telltale to do the Walking Dead Telltale game. And through that experience and being able to, you know, work with them to shape the game and craft Clementine's story to make it as authentic a Walking Dead experience as possible, we kind of built a philosophy where it was like, okay, so, you know, we're kind of in the center of this Walking Dead storm where there's this very popular comic book, very popular TV show, and very popular game. And it's somewhat unique in that I had gotten the opportunity to be uniquely involved in each aspect of it. So, you know, I wasn't coming in going, hey, I know how to make TV shows. Here's how this is done. You know, like the people at AMC, the various executive producers, all these people were TV experts. And I was able to, you know, as a dumb comic book writer from Kentucky, you know, like be in the writer's room full time and have a voice and be able to speak up and be an executive producer and be on set and, you know, be looking at costumes and things like that. And I was able to like add a level of, you know, authenticity to that just because, you know, I was there from day one with Walking Dead, and we were able to do the same thing with Telltale's Walking Dead, where, you know, I didn't know how to make video games. I didn't know anything about video games. I'd never even played a video game. No, that's not true. But you know, I was able to go, you know what, the main goal of a Walking Dead game should be to make people cry. You know, and that kind of became the ethos behind that game.
And by the way, I played it and it did. I mean, that game was great.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really one of the, you know, people say like, well, I like the Walking Dead Telltale game better than any other Walking Dead thing. And a lot of people are like, that must really, you know, make you die inside a little, Robert. Like that's, you know, because they're not saying they love the comic more. And it's like, no, that like shows the strength of the Walking Dead brand and what it is that Walking Dead be that audience members can come in through the video game. And that video game is, to them, the core Walking Dead thing. You know, like, yeah, like when you look at Star Wars, it's like, you know, the Star Wars movies are the core Star Wars thing and everything else is secondary. They've never done a Star Wars game that necessarily like replaces the Star Wars movie in people's minds. And so to be able to accomplish something like that on Walking Dead, I think is an amazing feat. So that's kind of what we're doing.
I love the game. And again, it's one of these things where I started with the comic book very early on. And so huge fan, love the show. But the game was, you know, games, and Sonny and I talk about this a lot on this podcast, they are a proactive form of entertainment. You are the person. And so it can be very visceral. And I think that's one thing that really caught me off guard with the Walking Dead game, because like it is a different thing, because you have such an emotional connection to the character you're playing, because it's like, oh, I screwed up. Even in a fighting game, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You make a wrong move and you're angry. You know, it's like, have you ever rage quit, by the way? Have you ever gotten so angry you've thrown your controller?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love Final Fantasy II and I love Final Fantasy III, and played through both of those games. And then Chrono Trigger came out. And Chrono Trigger was like, I can't remember the exact function. It's been many years, but I think it's like you could play it like three or four different times and get a different experience. Like they had given it different endings that would happen if you did different things. And so I was like, I'm going to play this game like 17 times. This is so exciting. And I feel like I was like 25, 30 hours into the game. I don't remember exactly but many, many hours. And my little brother, who's 5 years younger than me, got on to my saved game and played for like 3 hours one day while I was out at work or something. And I came back and was like, all right, I got to get back into Chrono Trigger. Da, 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 turn it on. And I'm like, I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea what's happening. And oh my God, I was so mad. And then, you know, like parents at the time, I'm just like, nobody, like, he played my game. And they're like, yeah, I don't care. The game's like, still there. Okay. And I'm like, no, but it's a story. And he went through my story. And now I don't know where I am. And he ruined, and I played it for so many hours. And they're just like, none of what you're saying makes any sense to me. You like, sound you like a moron. It. Will you please stop crying? And I'm getting upset just talking about it now. But I never played the game again. I was like, I can't do it.
Aww.
I can't do it. I'm out. Because I would have had to start over at the beginning to get those 3 hours back. And I couldn't just play through with this like gap in my experience. I think there were like different people in my group and I didn't know. Like, I was like, who is this person? I don't know what's going on. Oh, so mad. So mad.
Oh, what a betrayal.
Yeah, it's the worst. But no, you don't rage quit games these days, in my opinion, because most video games these days are easy. You know, like, No. It's not. No. Here's what I'm saying. Like, I'm a big fan of Destiny. I played Destiny 2. Like, I got to go through this cave and I got to kill this dude. Okay. If that's a game on a Nintendo, I go through the cave, I die, I have to start the game over to get to that cave again before I can try it. But in modern games, it's like, well, you know, we're going to, you know, take the last 3 minutes of your life and undo those and, you know, you get to try again. And it's like, you know, you try it more and more and you get through it and then you go through the cave, you kill the guy. what I'm saying is the gamers today are pampered. They don't know what it's like.
I agree. Back in the day, there's no power up. You just got to get better. You have to power yourself up.
I think there are 5 people on the planet who have completed a Mega Man game in its entirety. Just 5.
It's punishing.
I've played every Mega Man game. I don't think I've finished any of them because you get like 9 guys, or I think there's total 9 guys. Then you get to Dr. Wily and you're like, I don't know how to do this. This is killing me. It's killing me.
It's a little more punishing. It does feel a little more hand-holdy now.
I think one of the reasons for that, honestly, is now games can tell better stories, you know? Yes. And so I think, like, you know, we talk about The Last of Us and The Last of Us, you know, being this great game that's telling this very emotional story of redemption.
Fun fact, I have bought Last of Us 3 times and I have yet to play it because I love the Uncharted games. I have a great story about Uncharted, but I love the Uncharted games and I've been dying to play Last of Us. And I keep buying it, and I'm like, I'll have a weekend where I'll just play it all the way through in one weekend. And then that mysterious weekend never comes. Right, and then they update it. It's like, I bought it for PlayStation 3, and then it's like, oh, I'll get that PlayStation 4 version now.
Yeah.
Because I'll play it on PlayStation 4. I'll have this weekend one time, and it never happens.
You're already putting money into The Last of Us 2, into the future. They're putting out The Last of Us 3. You're putting money down on that. You've got 3 games under your belt and 0 hours put in.
That's how I feel about Uncharted. Like, I need to play Uncharted. Like, have you played all the Uncharteds through?
So I had heard that Uncharted was a great game, and yes, I buy Uncharted. And I had a PlayStation 3. I rarely get time to play games. And this is, you know, many, many years ago when Uncharted 1, I think Uncharted 2 was already out or was coming out. So I buy Uncharted 1, and I have I think my son at the time, who is, I want to say he's like 2, somewhere around there. I don't know if that timeline is working out, but he's a very young kid. Right. And so he gets the flu, and he is very sick. And what happened when our kids got the flu was they wouldn't really sleep in their crib because they'd get, you know, they'd wake up and they'd be screaming all night long. But if you sit in a recliner and you put them on your chest, they would sleep the whole night because as they're adjusting, you just kind of shimmy under them and then keep them comfortable and keep them asleep. And so I sat in my recliner and I turned on Uncharted, and I was in the basement at the time. And so I'm in this dark basement. I got the kid sleeping on me, and it's bedtime. So it's like 7:30 or whatever. He's like a kid. And so I start Uncharted 1. I'm like, all right, I'm going to play like a couple hours of this while I'm dealing with this little brat. Oh. And so I got the controller in my hand. I got the baby on my chest, and I'm just playing. And it's just like, you know, story, you're on the boat, you're killing the people, you're just, you know, finding coins, whatever the hell you do in Uncharted. Right. I'm climbing up walls and jumping and stuff. And like, I would take bathroom breaks and be like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom real quick. And then I'd take the kid in there, you know, and then go to the bathroom and then come back and sit back in the chair and I'd play. And at a certain point I go, oh, you know, I'm getting tired. It's probably like midnight or so. Like, I'll go put this kid in the crib, and then I'll go to bed and get some sleep. And, you know, if he wakes up, you know, I let my wife deal with it. I've dealt with this kid enough, like, whatever. And I go up the stairs of my basement and I open the door, and it is 8 a.m. the next day. The sun is up. And I have played through, like, what is that, like 12, 13 hours of Uncharted number one? Like, I had almost played through the entire game in one sitting, and I think I chipped away at it like a little bit and finished it. And then my daughter, who is 3 years younger than my son, got the flu when she was the same age, later, and I was so excited. I was like
yes,
Uncharted 2.
Let's go.
Yes. So great. Let's go. Let's go.
That's,
and I think that. I got through maybe like 8 or 9. I didn't quite get through the night with that one. But yeah, I played like a good, so, you know, Uncharted 3, I think I got through just on my own because my kids were older. I was looking for kids to babysit that maybe had the flu, like, so that I could get
anyone
through more
sick,
of them.
Just checking in. But, I can walk. Yeah.
Any of your friends, kids, like, hey guys, happy to babysit. A lot more Uncharted games. Thief's End just came
and Uncharted
out.
4 is sitting on a shelf with Last of Us waiting for this magical weekend where I can get through both of them. My life is no fun. That's a lie.
It sounds pretty
no,
fun.
It sounds,
I mean, you're
pretty
playing,
good.
Playing a lot of Uncharted. It sounds pretty
it's
fun.
It's not bad.
I would love to see you. You have such a great brain and such a unique brand of amazing storytelling. Take on kind of an Uncharted. I would love to see like an Indiana Jonesian sort of Robert Kirkman take. I think could be really fun. So maybe Uncharted 9 or whatever they're on. Maybe that's you're going to write that one, you know? Wouldn't that be great?
Maybe one of these days. Writing a video game is, I think it's like writing 15 movies. I don't think people realize how difficult game writing is. I don't have the energy or stamina for something like that. I will leave that to the professionals.
Maybe just the outline. You just drop in the from orbit.
Nope. I think that's the hardest part, man. What are you talking about?
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
I will say one thing, you know, getting back to Skybound for a second, you guys are coming out with the Callisto protocol, which looks awesome. Like Sonia and I were watching that trailer and just commenting how beautiful it looks and how freaky.
Unreal.
Yeah, I mean, totally unreal.
No, it's really great to be a part of that game. I know Dan Murray at Skybound brought that project to us and was like, yeah, we could partner with these guys and, you know, make this game. And I was like, this stuff looks like absolutely spectacular. And you know, I love Dead Space. So I think it's going to be a really great game.
And again, being such a horror nerd, it's rare that I can get that anything actually scares me. Because, you know, you get to that point where you're just super jaded and you're like, oh, yeah. But Callisto Protocol, I'm like, this is horrifying. I don't, you know, it's like,
yeah, I have it on good authority that it is going to be an absolutely terrifying game.
Yeah, for sure.
One thing I appreciate about Skybound too, and about Skybound games, you going back on, you work to empower a lot of indie developers too, and just empowering the space and empowering creators. You've been doing Skybound Expo. And you had Crater Fest, which is really cool, which is incredible. You were celebrating creators, Black History Month, cosplayers, and just highlighting a lot of people in the space. For somebody who I'm assuming is no stranger to conventions, no stranger to cons and panels and everything, how was it, you know, being able to host that space for people and to empower even more people in the space?
Well, I mean, it's great. Anytime I can use Skybound's platform to, you know, shine a light on, you know, any aspect of fandom that, you know, needs a light shined on it is very exciting. You know, I love going to conventions. I love meeting the fans. I hate the pandemic. I'm going to be the first one to come out and say that I did not have a good 2020. I did not enjoy this year, you know? I don't care how controversial that is.
That's a hot take.
You know what? It sucked. I'll do it. I'll say it.
Someone had to. Someone said it.
But that said, I get to go to conventions from my couch now? Like, what? I think that's right. The only good thing about it. I mean, I love this guy about expos. Even when I'm not on screen, I'm on YouTube watching the stream going, and the other thing is at conventions, I don't get to go to panels because I'm usually like on panels or, you know, doing interviews or signing autographs or, you know, eating lunch and then eating a second lunch or whatever happens. I miss everything. And so now with these virtual conventions, it's like, oh, yeah, I get to, you know, watch this new trailer and get to see these actors talk. And, you know, it's great to be able to actually experience a convention in a way that I, you know, haven't been able to in, let's call it, real life.
Yeah. Not only can you be a part of it, you can experience it. And wear sweatpants the entire time. And it's maybe a little less weird than it would be in real life. But
Right before the pandemic, I had a bunch of events where I had to wear suits. And I do not enjoy wearing suits. Every time I wear a suit, I feel like I'm in prison because I don't ever wear suits. Like, it's just like, I'm like that little kid that goes to the wedding and is like, I don't feel like I can move. So I was like, you know what? I'm a writer. And I make my own schedule, and I mostly work in my home office. And I'm just gonna go out and I'm gonna buy like a dozen pairs of sweatpants.
Yes.
And I'm just gonna wear sweatpants anytime I want.
Fully embrace it.
And this was like a month before the pandemic. I also had to do a bunch of things, and you know, monkey's paw kind of thing. Like, I may have caused the pandemic because I go to my wife and I go, you know what? I just wish I was on house arrest for a year. These are words I actually said out loud in February of last year. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to get some work done and be in the. I could do house arrest for a year. And she looks at me and goes, "You're crazy. You could never do house arrest for a year. You would go crazy." And I'm like, "No, I wouldn't. I'd love it. It'd be the best thing in the world to happen to me. If I knew there was a law I could break where I wouldn't get in too much trouble and I just get house arrest for a year, I'd go do it because I would love to be on house arrest for a year." And she's like, "You're nuts." And then like a month later, I'm like, "What? What's happening?" But I did buy all these sweatpants. And so I'm like, well, these are going to get some use. And then every now and then I have to go somewhere and I have to put on my old blue jeans. You guys
You're
remember
like,
those?
Oh, like, yeah. What is this?
And I'm like, my blue jeans now feel like I'm wearing a suit.
No!
What happened?
No!
Now I'm in prison and I'm just wearing a suit and shoes that aren't slippers. Like, I put on my old shoes and my feet are like, what are you doing to me? What's going on? Why are we in here? When do we get out? It's the worst. It's the worst.
Yeah, I love the combination between verbalizing that and then the purchase of the sweatpants. And then the monkey claw closes by one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all my fault, guys. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
I think it's confirmed that we're all living in Robert Kirkman's simulation. I think that's what you just confirmed for us.
That's this what we've all, come to.
This is all you.
But I just want to put on the record, just in case my wife's going to listen to this. She was right. Being on house arrest for a year blows. It's no fun at all. I was wrong.
That's perfect. Well, Mr. Kirkman, we like to end every podcast with the best game and the worst game.
Okay.
So a game that you love the most and a game that you despise the most for whatever reason, personal to you.
Okay. So I will say that my favorite game, look, I'm playing Apex Legends like it's going out of style right now. I absolutely love Apex Legends. Yeah. The first Destiny, fantastic. The first Uncharted, fantastic. There are a lot of great games that I love. It's hard for me to pick like a game that I really love. I also will play any Mario game. And I will play every nook and cranny of that Mario game for as much time as I possibly can.
Nice.
But there's an old Nintendo game called Metal Storm where you're like a mech and you're running on a side-scrolling thing and you hit a button and you can inverse and go to the ceiling. And so you have to traverse these levels by either being, by switching gravity. So gravity goes one way and you can get through the level, but then you hit a point where you have to invert gravity to go through another. And then you have to fight bosses. And it's just like this, you know, very simple Nintendo game. But I played Metal Storm like it was going out of style in my youth. And I don't know, like all-time favorite game, I would have to say Metal Storm.
Metal Storm. Aww. I love the gravity. That's a fun mechanic.
Yeah. What was that on, like SNES or NES or what was that?
Oh, no, it was on NES.
On NES.
I'm an old man.
That's
you know the NES where the controller looked like a calculator?
Yeah. You're grabbing it so tight you have like corner point marks in your palms and you're just like just screaming and trying. For me, it was Ninja Gaiden. I was just screaming and just trying to kill it.
And it had a 1.5 foot thick black cord coming out of it, connecting it to a brick that was plugged into your television with jumper cables. Like, what? And least favorite game, I'm just going to say Mario Sunshine. I've gotten into so much trouble for this. I played Mario Galaxy, and Mario Galaxy is one of the greatest games. And I was like, you know what? Great. I never got a GameCube. I got to go back. I went out. I bought a GameCube. I bought Mario Sunshine. And going from Mario Galaxy back in time to Mario Sunshine, I thought the game was clunky. I didn't like the spray and water. Oh, Mario, I'm cleaning graffiti off of walls for the stupidest looking characters in the Mario universe. And it's a beloved game. And anytime I talk about it, people attack me relentlessly on Twitter. And I got news for you, Twitter people. I just don't look sometimes. So scream all you want. You're not getting to me. I don't care what you say. Attack me all day long. I'll just take a day off of Twitter. I need one anyway. Have at it. Mario Sunshine, garbage. I got the new Mario thing for the Switch with the Mario Sunshine and Galaxy and Mario 64. And you know what? I'm going to give it a try again. I'm going to give it a try again. You know what? I liked it 10% more than I did before, but the game still sucks.
I agree with you. And I do think there is this thing where if you fans get a little too crazy with Mario games, because if you take it out of the Mario universe and you say, oh, would you play Mario Sunshine if it wasn't Mario? Then people would be like, oh, well, this game is whatever and there's a problem with it. But all of a sudden, if it's a Mario game, it just smooths over all of these issues. I totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, if it was a Pillsbury Doughboy game and instead of Mario, it was the Pillsbury Doughboy, you'd be like, this Pillsbury Doughboy game is terrible.
Well, hold up.
He's not even baking cookies. He's kind there's of no into rolling it. Pin. It's completely out of universe. This game sucks.
Actually, I'm kind of into it now. I kind of want a Pillsbury Doughboy.
Aside from the fact we all need a Pillsbury Doughboy game.
Yeah. 100%.
So anyway, I wanted to announce that Skybound has a Pillsbury Doughboy game coming out in 2023 that is going to be absolutely amazing.
It's a dating simulator.
Pillsbury Doughboy created by the same guy that created Green Lantern, by the way.
What?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Did not know that.
Martin Nodell.
Huh.
Created the original Green Lantern and also supposedly created the Pillsbury Doughboy. Look, that's hearsay. I don't know if that's accurate at all. That's just what I heard. I'm just repeating publicly something that I heard and haven't confirmed.
I love
Welcome
it.
Welcome to America 2021.
Yeah.
It's like being on Twitter. It's like being on Twitter.
I love it.
Well, Robert Kirkwood, thank you. This was such a thrill for us.
No, thanks for having me, guys. This was a lot of fun. And keep the, you know, Mario Sunshine sucks. Keep it alive.
Perfect.
I mean, I love that he played Uncharted in one sitting while his kid had the flu.
Expect the impossible.
Blake can do it if Kirkman did it. I'm just saying.
Make sure you check out Robert's latest show, Invincible, which is available now, today. Go check it out. It's on Amazon Prime with new episodes every Friday.
And we will be right back after this break. So please don't go anywhere.
Please.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. You made it. We're still here. We didn't go anywhere. And we have something special for you. Another fan request today. At Marcus Aniala writes, hey, at Aaron Blair, at OMG It's Firefox, hashtag GGNT, what are your favorite video game soundtracks? I feel like the right soundtrack can create an immersive experience. My personal favorites are Metal Gear Solid for PlayStation 1 and Super Mario RPG. Thanks.
Here's how I think about music, video game soundtracks. I think about them in two categories. I think about them as like orchestral.
Okay.
And then I think about them like bam, And I don't like to compare the two. Do you know what I'm saying? I see it's like two separate roads. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess so. So what would you consider in each category for yourself? Like, what would you recommend?
So I think for me, let's both do orchestral first.
Okay.
I think for me, Last of Us is up there. That one kind of violin scraping across the bow. I think it evokes a feeling, creates an audio world in an amazing way. I think Senua's Sacrifice is great. It's got a bunch of Viking shit in there. It's cool. It evokes a world beyond our own.
That's pretty good. I like how you just generalized Viking stuff. Can you elaborate?
Classic Viking stuff. Viking shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Hashtag just Viking things.
Hashtag just Viking.
Now, what's like an orchestral epic soundtrack you think of?
I mean, something that I feel really sells the atmosphere and is really good at setting the scene and putting you in that time. I always go to BioShocks. Yeah. I always go to Fallouts because it's that, like, you know, old time, like razzle dazzle, jazzy sort of upbeat, you know, everything's great, blah, blah, blah. And then you have these like creepy, creaky bubbling and the creaking underground and everything, and water rushing. And it's terrifying. And the juxtaposition of the two, it makes it so, it just sells it so well. And I've always loved that.
I completely agree. And I, you know what? I even agree with you. I think BioShock and Fallout might be my faves.
Yeah, I'd say they're pretty up there. There's nothing like strolling past a blown up Megaton and you have a nice little razzle dazzle picking up your day.
Agreed. All right. Now, what about kind of like, what about the other side, the kind of looping, you know, kind of Super Mario, that kind of song? Do you have a fave of that? Nostalgic
sort of. I'm already like bopping my head because I can hear it. I can hear this song in my head. I love Hotline Miami.
Oh, great.
It's just so good. Their soundtrack is incredible. They have a bunch of songs by Moon that it's so good.
It's awesome. Yeah. I completely agree. So good. I think it's like, we're talking about nostalgic. You know, it's like Super Mario is great, obviously, but it's like the Beatles. How often do you listen to the Beatles every day?
Did you just compare Mario to the Beatles?
All right. Well, the sound of Mario. I mean, it's honestly, can I say, hot take, Hotline Miami take?
Mm.
I think more people have heard the Mario theme than the Beatles.
Oh.
Is that possible?
Jen's mouth just dropped.
Is that possible?
I think that's possible. I think you're wrong. I don't know.
I don't know.
That seems crazy to me.
Look, Garth Brooks has sold more records than the Beatles. Think about that.
Really?
Can we crunch the numbers? Numbers out there to be crunched?
All I'm saying is, think about Super Mario's been around for a long time. It's been in a lot of ads. The Beatles haven't been in a ton of ads. But anyway, all that being said, I'm loving these new kinds of games like the Textracist. I'm loving Loop Hero. I'm loving these kind of dark, pixely, you know, those kinds of games have done me right when it comes to that stuff.
I feel it.
But yeah. And we're gonna get to the bottom. We're gonna crunch the numbers.
Maybe somebody else can out there, if you're feeling a little spicy and wanna do some quick math, hashtag GGMT.
Yeah.
Let us know who's
more popular, Super Mario or the Beatles.
I mean, look, they're both ingrained in pop culture, but I don't know. Maybe
somebody do the math. Somebody do the math and let us know.
Well, there you go. Thank you for Mark Solania, thank you for your request. Of course, if you have a request for us, please tweet at our brand new Twitter handle at Good Game Nice Try. You know, if you need a game, if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you just want to say hi, you know, if you want us to, you know, if you want to join our GoFundMe for TCVR DDRSVU,
someone needs
please definitely tweet at Good Game Nice Try.
Good Game Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. engineering by Will Beckton, with engineering and sound design by Anya Zhezhik. Music by John Danik. Danik. I felt like I had to do it.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.